the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 1, sets forth a great truth. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? If we just had that one verse of scripture out of the entire Bible, it would be worthwhile, wouldn't it? Amen. The title of our message this morning is Guilty Sinners Set Free. Now, if you were to read headlines like that in your newspaper, I'm sure that it would catch your attention and you would read the entire article all the way through. Picture this. You have a criminal sitting in court. He's been charged with crimes that he's committed. He's guilty. He knows he's guilty. The judge knows he's guilty. And he knows that the penalty for the crime that he committed is death. So we have a jury that hears the evidence. They retire to consider their verdict. After they reach a verdict, they return to the courtroom. This is what I used to do. They hand the verdict to the judge first, and then he hands it to his clerk. And the clerk reads the verdict. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, and by the way, he's standing at the time. And I always like to add, not always, but sometimes I would add a little drama to it. I quit after an incident happened that made me wish I hadn't done it. I'm standing there and I read it. We, the jury, find the defendant. His last name was Ellerby. And I paused. Just a slight pause. And then I said, guilty. And when I said that, it was like lighting a firecracker. He reached under that counsel table and he took that thing and he flipped it. Lawyers, briefcases, papers, water jugs, glasses, things like that just went flying whenever he did that. And the leg of the table, when it turned over, hit my desk, got that close to me, and took about four guys there to wrestle him to the floor. Added some excitement, you know, to it. So I quit pausing before I said guilty. But for this purposes of this one, the jury comes in and they say, not guilty. And I believe if it had been me in that courtroom and I'd been the defendant in that case, I would have been the happiest person in that courtroom to hear a verdict of not guilty. But I can't wait to tell you that one day I stood before Almighty God, the judge of the universe. I was guilty as charged. I knew I was guilty. All of the evidence pointed to my guilt. And the judge knew I was guilty. And I bowed my head to hear his righteous sentence. And he said, not guilty. Amen. Not guilty. but he sentenced me anyway. He sentenced me to everlasting life in heaven. Amen. That was my sentence that the judge pronounced. I think that's pretty good, don't you? The Bible has a word for it. Justified. Not only was I declared not guilty, it went further than that. The crimes that I was charged with, that I had committed, were as though they had never happened at all. They were obliterated, taken away. The slate was wiped clean. They were all blotted out. I was cleansed. I was forgiven. I was set free. I was pardoned. I was exonerated. I was acquitted. I was absolved, and the charges were dismissed. I was cleared of all blame. I was justified. Justified. Justification is one of the greatest truths in the Bible. Justified. One of the most beautiful words in the English language. Justified. The Bible says that we're justified by faith. And tells us, we read it, that when we are justified by faith, we have peace with Almighty God. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 goes on to say, much more than, more than that? Yes, much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Amen. Through him. Verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, this goes back to the Garden of Eden and Adam disobeying God when sin came into this world. And sin and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the reason why people die, is because of sin. By one man, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Show me one that's not. All men. Condemned. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Even so, by the righteousness of one, and that's Jesus, the free gift, free, F-R-E-E, doesn't cost anything. It's a free gift, came unto all men, unto justification of life. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you, that's the gospel. Now, justification has been described as a bridge. Comes to mind over in Luke, the 16th chapter. We have a scene in hell. There's a rich man over there who's being tormented in the flame. And he looks across a great gulf that is fixed. And on the other side of this great gulf, he sees a beggar by the name of Lazarus that used to sit at his gate. And every time he went in and out of his house, he passed by this pitiful beggar. The rich man fared sumptuously every day. He ate gourmet foods. He dressed in the finest clothes that were available in that day. here, Lazarus hungry, desiring the crumbs that fell from his table. Ragged, dirty. But now Lazarus is comforted in Abraham's bosom. Amen. And the rich man says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my parched tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham told him, he says, nobody can cross over this great gulf that's fixed. The ones on your side can't come over here, and the ones over on my side can't go over there. You know what I thought whenever I stood on the south rim of the Grand Canyon the first time I ever saw it over here in Arizona? I thought, boy, that is a great gulf. How in the world would a person get to the other side of it? This justification is like a bridge over that great gulf. On one side, there you got the sun shining in righteousness and purity and love and peace and joy. On the other side, there's the shadow of a darkness of sin, failure, defeat, hatred, violence, sorrow, pain, tears, regret, all of those things. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Then Jesus comes. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, he builds a bridge across that great gulf. He pays for the construction of it with his own blood. And by faith, we accept what he has done. By faith, anyone and everyone can cross over that bridge and leave all of his sins and his trespasses and his condemnation behind him. Amen. He passes from death to life, and it's all free. He arrives at the other side where there is salvation, forgiveness, and redemption, and we call that bridge justification. Think of that. Anyone can cross over it. There's no toll. Now that justification is also like clothing. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4 describes our clothing. He says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Notice he did not say all of our sins and trespasses and iniquities are as filthy rags. He said all of our righteousness is his filthy rags. Righteousness is the best that we can do. Righteousness is our greatest and best deeds, the very best that we can do. All the things that so many people depend upon to get them to heaven. Filthy rags. All the goodness, honesty, integrity, as dirty, filthy, slimy, ragged garments. Then Jesus comes, and through his death on Calvary's cross, through the shedding of his own blood, through his keeping of God's law, he earns a righteousness which he really doesn't need because he is God already. Amen. So he takes this righteousness that he has earned by keeping God's law, and he gives it to us as a free gift.
Amen.
It's ours. It's ours. All we have to do is accept it. Why is that so hard? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." This garment of his imputed righteousness covers all of our filthy rags, so that we can go in boldly into the presence of God, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That'd make a good song. Somebody ought to write about that. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, the Apostle John's up there in heaven, and everybody up there is showing him around. And John tells us over there, he said, "I saw a great multitude which no man could number. They were standing before God's throne and before the Lamb," that's Jesus, the Lamb of God, "clothed in white robes." And he said, one of the 24 elders came up and he says, "John, what are these that are arrayed in white robes?" John says, "I don't know. I haven't the slightest idea." Then the elder said, "I'm going to tell you, John." He said, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Amen. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made white as the driven snow. Without the shedding of blood is no remission, Hebrews 9:22 tells us. Just as today, all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, well, they're like the psalmist said over in Psalm 40 in verse 2. He testified, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." So justification is like a garment. But justification is like a court of law, because it's a legal term that belongs in a courtroom. As we started off, it pictures God sitting on that great white throne of judgment. We are the defendants. We are the sinners, the criminals, the transgressors. The devil is there. He's the prosecutor. The devil is the accuser. Jesus is there. He is the advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our intercessor. He is our lawyer. There's no question about our guilt. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. And the wages of sin is death. And the second death is eternal separation from God and all that is good, plus everlasting punishment and torment in the lake of fire in brimstone. And then Jesus comes. He announces to the judge that he has once and for all paid the penalty for our sins by shedding his blood and dying on the cross for us. So we, the guilty, are declared not guilty. We're offered free pardon. But a pardon is not a pardon unless it is received.
Right.
If we accept it, we go free. We're not put on probation. We're not under house arrest. Our slate is wiped clean. We do not have a criminal record against us. Acts 13:39. And by him being Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things. Catch those alls in there. All that believe are justified from all things. Isaiah 43:25. God says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out the transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. He forgets them. They're gone. God is the one who in grace justifies us through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's as simple as I can make it. Now there are four words in the Bible that describe justification. Salvation is one of them. Redemption is one of them. Regeneration and conversion. Regeneration is the change that takes place within our heart when we believe in and accept the Lord Jesus Christ and we become a new creature in Christ. Amen. All things pass away, behold, all things become new. Justification tells us what our standing is before Almighty God. Salvation is the imparting of eternal life to our immortal souls when we are born again.
Amen.
And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Justification is our acceptance by God as being righteous before him. Redemption refers to the price that Jesus paid for our salvation and our justification. Conversion is the change that takes place in our lives when we're saved and born again. And God is the one who declares us righteous.
Amen.
The first book, they tell us, that was written in the Bible, there are 66 of them, was the oldest one is the book of Job. And Job asked a question. It's recorded in chapter 25 and verse 4. How can man be justified with God? And that gets answered by the Apostle Paul in Romans 3:28. A man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, justified by faith. Then he enlarges on that when he writes to the Christians in the Galatian churches, chapter 2, verse 16. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So forget about working for it. Forget about keeping the law for justification. If a person is to be justified before Almighty God, they're going to be justified by faith, or they'll never be justified. That's the only way that it comes. Peter, Simon Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records for us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Listen to this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. Remember John's lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? As of a lamb. Without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So what is justification? Justification is a choice that you and I make. It is a yes or no proposition. You either have it or you don't. It's readily available to anyone and everyone who wants it. It is free of charge. It can be accepted or it can be rejected. If we accept it, we accept it by faith. And we must accept it before it becomes a reality in our lives. And once we are justified, we remain justified. God does not revoke it. He does not take it away. It is a present possession that you can keep and take with you when you die and go to heaven. Are you justified today? It's free. Salvation is free. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is accept it. We spend our lives telling people this, and people say, oh, I don't believe that. And because they don't believe, they're not justified. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. It'll take you to heaven when you die. Let's stand together in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for justification. We are made just as though we had never sinned. And it's all through our faith, our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, shed his blood, that we might be saved. It's so easy and so simple. It's free. Help us to learn from this message today that we might share this with our unsaved friends. Because all of us have friends, relatives, who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. Help us to share this doctrine of justification with them so that they might be saved. So, Father, today in this congregation, if there's one here that does not know and is not justified, I pray that today they will accept the judge's verdict of not guilty and go free. We thank you for your grace and your love toward us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 476.
476. Just a brief invitation here because somebody out there may not be justified. And we want you to be saved today. Appreciate your being here today. Thank you for listening. And remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, in our benediction?